If there were one book that you would go to prove that you do not need to keep God's law, well, what book would it be? Now, I should say it another way, because I don't think you want to go to any book to prove that you would not keep God's law. But if someone else would tell you, look, there's a book in the Bible that tells you you can work on the Sabbath, that tells you you don't need to keep the commandments, why don't you go to this book? And then they would say the book. What would it be? Mr. Franks, as you know, loves baseball. And he tells a story of when he was a kid, he was going to, the team was very good, and Mr. Franks was very good. So the team was going to either a regional or a state baseball tournament. And so his coach came to him because he told his coach, look, I can't play on the Sabbath. So his coach said, you go home and read the book of Galatians. It was the book of Galatians. So he tells the story that he went home and he read the book of Galatians, and he came back and he told his coach, I can't find anything in the book of Galatians where it tells you that you can break the Sabbath, that you don't have to keep the commandments. So with that in mind, I have, and all of us probably since about 1994, have gone back into the book of Galatians, and of course we've all found that there is nothing in there that tells you that you don't keep the commandments anymore. I am going to go into the book of Galatians today, but it's going to be on one topic. And now, if you just take a look at the number of times certain words are used in the book of Galatians, you'll find that the law is 29 times. 29 times. And then the gospel is mentioned 15 times, but there's another word in there that is very important, and that's the word that we're going to follow in the book of Galatians today, and it's called faith. Faith. Now, I have the sermon right here, and I'm going to give it to you orally, but not physically, until the end of the sermon. Because if I give it to you right now, you're going to look at it, and while I'm speaking, you're going to read it all the way down to the bottom. I'll only be 10 minutes into the sermon by that time. So I definitely will lose you, I'm sure. Sometimes we can hand something out and we won't lose you because it's maybe not as much detail, but when we give you a lot of detail, then you'll want to read it. If I just gave you an outline with 20 words on it, I wouldn't worry about it. But this one has a few more words. But I won't wait to give it to you until the sermon is over. I'm going to give it to you about 15 minutes before the sermon ends, which would be about 10 minutes till 4. So I don't want you taking a coffee break during that period of time. We'll want to keep in the room. But the word faith is 16 times. The word faith is found 16 times. And so you know when you see a certain word a lot, and we're not counting prepositions or articles, we're counting, you know, main words a lot, you realize that that book has something to do with the word, the book itself. In this case, Galatians has a lot to do with faith. So we're going to go down through it. I'm going to give you a key verse on which we will build. And then point number one will be faith in the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. And I even see in my notes that I would change it around a little bit, but faith in the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. That'll be number one. Then we're going to go to number two. In fact, I'm going to go back up, and I'm going to read you the key verse before I go on with the points, okay? The key verse we're going to look at is Galatians 3 and verse 8. And we won't go to too many other books, so you can actually save a lot of calories today just by going to Galatians. You're not going to be turning back and forth too much. We may sway from the book just a little bit. But in Galatians chapter 3 and verse 8, Galatians 3 and verse 8, it says the following. Still getting used to this Bible. And the scripture foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith, preached the gospel to Abraham beforehand, saying, in you all the nations shall be blessed. So, and there are certain words. I think I mentioned gospel is mentioned 15 times, but we're not going to center on that word. We're not going to center on the word law in here. We're going to follow through with basically just the word faith. But it does say through faith in that key verse. So that number one point is going to be faith in the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. Faith in the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. Number two is going to be the faith of Christ. The faith of Christ. And you might think, well, isn't that kind of together? And the answer is there is a connection, but a huge difference. There is a connection, but a huge difference. Point number three will be, by the faith of Christ, we are made right or justified. Again, just referring back to the key verse of Galatians 3:8, it says that God foresaw that all mankind would be made right, all mankind would be justified by faith, okay? So that's what we see in number three, by the faith of Jesus Christ, we are made right, justified. Then I'll explain the difference between being made righteous and being justified at that point. And then I'll give you a summary, and at that time, you will get everything I have here. Don't go to sleep, please. Then number four. And I'll save that till last, number four, because you will have this in your hand by that time. Okay, in this, it's a vital subject, because when you go through the subject of faith, you can divide it into sections when you do, because that's going to help quite a bit to understand the different faiths that we're covering today. But anyway, you can divide it by sections, because the word faith doesn't apply to every single number here, but it's all connected. It all has a flow to it, and you'll see that one feeds off the other, and basically the sermon name would be, or the sermon title would be, faith resulting in righteousness, resulting in God's kingdom. Faith resulting in righteousness, resulting in God's kingdom. So let's go back to the key verse here, where we see that God is talking to Abraham, okay? And that was after the flood. So I don't know how many people in the flood, not too many, knew of God's plan, but there were a number. God has had prophets, so to speak, in every age. So he hasn't left mankind bereft of his plan of salvation. So we see then that back in the time of Abraham, God knew hundreds of years later how he would make mankind right. And he said he would justify the nations, and he would do it through faith. Now, the verse in some, let's see what it says here. He would justify the Gentiles by faith. And I might add, or I might ask the question, how many Gentiles were there when Abraham was alive? And the answer is, there was no difference. There was no difference. So the word there really is nations. It doesn't have to be Gentiles. When the Israelites were formed under Jacob, the 12 tribes, kids that he had, they were all Israelites. Jacob's name was changed to Israel. Then you see after that, there would be a difference when, and normally, not all the time, but normally when Gentiles are spoken of and when Israelites were spoken of course, there would have been a difference. A Gentile was just somebody who was not of the tribes of Jacob, meaning Israel. Otherwise, everybody else in the entire world was Gentile. So you could almost say that, you could say that Abraham was a Gentile, although it doesn't sound right. He was just of the nations. That's why we say Gentile means the nations. So God is going to take all the nations throughout the entire earth, not just Israelites, but all nations. He's going to make them right. And so he preaches to Abraham, and he said, in your seed it's going to happen. In your seed it is going to happen. Now, the note on that would be, in your seed would refer to Christ's sacrifice in your seed. The way it was going to happen would be in your seed being a sacrifice. Let's go to Galatians 3 and verse 1. Again, I know we're close, so I won't pause too much or say too much because you're right there. So Paul says, O foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you that you should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ was clearly portrayed among you as crucified? So when you see that, and when you read, of course, all Galatians, it is talking about faith in the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, the first point that we're going to have. So they knew about Christ being crucified. The Apostle Paul was in that area of Galatia on his first missionary journey. So he would have preached to a number of churches from that area, and they would have known the plan of God. And by the mere fact, he said, you knew before whose eyes, or it was evident by my preaching, or maybe some of you were even there in Jerusalem for Pentecost. Maybe some of you were there Passover season, and you knew about him being crucified. So who bewitched you? In other words, they were twisting the gospel a little bit. And again, I'm not going into the subject of the gospel in itself, but we find in the very first chapter that Paul wrote to them and said, I marvel that you're turning away from the gospel that I preached to you, he said. Okay, so on number one then, we must have faith in the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. Let's go to Galatians 2 and verse 16. Galatians 2 and verse 16. Now, this is one scripture, by the way, that could be used in point 1, point 2, and point 3. So there are some overlapping. There are some scriptures that are very general, and I'll give you those at the end, or you can see them at the last page on the bottom. You'll see the words faith that would apply to more than just faith in, or even the second point. It would apply to both. It would apply to both. So it says here, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law. And by the way, the word law is 29 times in there, and it is not always works of law. Sometimes it applies to commandments of God, but you'll see mostly when you read that word law and you look it up, works of law is mentioned often in the book of Galatians. But anyway, but by the faith of Jesus Christ, so we are justified, and we'll come to that, of course, in point three. But it is faith in, and let's go on here, even we have believed in Jesus Christ that we might be justified by the faith of Christ and not by the works of the law, for by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. Now, most of you have the New King James, right? How many of you have the King James? So, okay, if the King James is good enough for Jesus Christ, it's good enough for me, right? Remember that. I'll point out the difference here, because if you have the New King James, it says, even we have believed in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by the faith, or by faith in Jesus Christ, and not by the works of the law, for the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. So is that entirely correct if we say that we must believe in Jesus Christ in order to be justified by the faith in Jesus Christ? And we'll bring that out. Let's go to Galatians 3:25. Galatians 3 and verse 25. But after faith is come, so there was a time when Jesus Christ was not sacrificed, right? So after faith is come, and I'm not saying that when God says something, it's as if it already happens, because the prophets of God did believe in the plan of God, did believe that Jesus Christ would fulfill God's plan of being sacrificed. But as yet, it had not actually happened. The sacrifice had not happened. So it's after that faith is come, we're no longer under a schoolmaster. You're all children of God by faith in Jesus Christ. Okay, by faith in Jesus Christ. And that is correct. It is by faith in Christ. It is very important that all of us realize that the starting point in salvation is we must have faith in the sacrifice of Christ. Faith in. So when you were baptized, you remember what the minister said. Have you repented of your sins? Have you accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior? And then the minister went on to say, because you've repented of your sins, which are the transgression of God's holy, righteous, and perfect laws, and because you believe in Christ as your Savior, your High Priest, your Master, soon coming King, then I baptize you, and then it goes on. So that first point then, before we can be baptized, we have to say, I do have faith in the fact that Jesus Christ is sacrificed for me, is my Savior. That's a starting point. We do not yet have the faith of Christ. Not yet. We have faith in Christ. Then we are baptized. Then we come up out of the watery grave. And then something else happens. So then we go to point two then. So that faith in Christ is basic. It's foundational. Then we go to the second point, the faith of Christ. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. Galatians 2 and verse 20. I guess if you could turn over in your page, maybe one page, to verse 20. Let's go there. So I've been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. Now, can we say that when we say, I have faith in the sacrifice of Christ? And the answer is, in other words, can we say Christ lives in me? We're not baptized yet, but we know that we're going to be baptized. Can I say Christ lives in me? And the answer is, no, we can't. Something else has to happen. And the life which I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God. In Galatians 2 and verse 20, it says, I live by faith in the Son of God. New King James is totally, completely wrong. So you have a King James Bible, it is going to be right. And it is interesting that most of the popular translations, brethren, have faith in when it should be faith of. Most of the popular translations. In fact, when I look this up, and I've done this before, but we have a phone, and we can go onto our phone and go to Blue Letter Bible or whatever app that has a Bible program on it, and then it'll give you translations. I think my phone has more translations than my computer, actually, on Blue Letter Bible. You can go down, and it'll be faith in, faith in, faith in, faith in, faith in, and then you'll come across one and maybe another, maybe 2 to 3 out of 20. But those other two besides the King James, you don't even hear of. Normally, we just never even use them at all. So we have then, I live by the faith of the Son of God. Christ lives in me. So what's happened? Well, we had faith in Christ as our Savior. We are then baptized. We come up out of the watery grave in newness of life. We are a new creature in Christ. And we can say then, after hands are laid on us and we receive God's Spirit, we then can say, Christ lives in me. Now, it may not be too much right after we're baptized, but we have the Spirit of God in us, and that's what God says. Christ lives in us. So we come to Galatians 2:16 again, and we see, knowing a man is not justified by works of law, but by faith of Christ. The word there in the Greek is pistis, pistis. And it is a feminine noun. It's Greek 4102, and I know all of you already memorized that, so it's nothing new to you. And I'll explain a little bit here, because there's something very interesting about faith here and faith in faith of. But anyway, even we have believed, and that word is 4100. So the word that is faith, pistis, is 4102. This word is 4100. So you can see very close when you see Greek words that have like 41, 42, 43, you know, or 41, 41, 41, 42, 41, 43, they're going to be close. So even we have believed in, and that is P-I-S-T-E-U-O, pursue, I guess, in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by the faith of Christ. Now, actually, there is a preposition. If you have in, the word in, believed in, you would have actually a preposition. If it's faith of Christ, it's just faith Christ. That's all. But it's not faith in Christ. It's faith Christ, or Christ's faith. We would have the same faith. So what is the difference between the two? Well, if you have your own faith and you're in a boat and you see Jesus Christ walking on the water, and you say, come on out, walk on the water. Christ is walking on the water. That's Christ, and he has faith that he could walk on the water. So Peter gets out there, and he takes a couple steps, and all of a sudden he sees all the waves. He had a little bit of faith, and Christ is right there, but all of a sudden there's problems that come up, and all of a sudden he doesn't have faith too much, and he begins sinking. Peter did not have the faith of Christ. Virtually impossible. And you could have a little faith, because Christ said, oh, you of little faith, right? Oh, you of little faith. So you can have a little bit. God has given us that mind. God, in fact, calls us, and then he is the one who grants us repentance. He's the one who does that. So God gives us those starting, you know, basics. But faith in is our faith. If you go to the World Tomorrow broadcast of maybe the 1960s, the 1970s, Mr. Armstrong used to talk about those things, and he would come out very strongly. Or the Correspondence Chorus in the early years of the 50s, 60s, 70s, and even 80s. And maybe shortly after the 80s too, but even the Correspondence Chorus started changing a little bit when you got to about 1987, 1988, 1989, because something happened. And it was called the death of Mr. Armstrong. And there were some changes that radically began in early 1900s, excuse me, 1990s, better yet. I didn't go back that far, the early 1900s, but we did to the 1993, 94, 95. Definitely we did. So we have then, we believe in the sacrifice of Christ so that we might have the faith of Christ. We have a belief in the sacrifice, we are baptized, we receive God's Holy Spirit, and there's a change that takes place. So we see here that the King James Version is unique. Isn't it amazing that those who are anti-law, because what we're dealing with is, if you stick with faith in, I have faith in, I have faith in, then you have a setup or a foundation for having Jesus Christ doing everything for you. Because you don't have to have the faith of Christ, you just have faith in him, and everything he did, you can claim as your own. You don't need to obey the commandments, because it's just faith in Christ. And that's where they go with this, if you follow it. Because out there, and I've heard radio programs, you see writings on it, and it's always, if you have faith in fact, Martin Luther, this came up not too long ago, I think My wife, in fact, brought it up. That's my first wife over here. She brought up that Martin Luther, this was Gerhard Marx's paper on the 2,000-year history of the Germans. And it talked about Martin Luther. And Martin Luther basically said, you can be as wicked as you want to be, and you still have, if you have faith in Christ, you're saved. He hated the Jews, by the way. He didn't like the Jews at all. Did he like anybody? I think he just liked Lutherans. He didn't like Catholics, I do know that. But anyway, that's how far it goes. And some of those guys, I think Calvin and Luther were of the same mind, basically. Calvin, not quite so bad. Martin Luther was horrible in his beliefs. But that's because he believed in sola, faith only. That was one of the terms, actually, faith only. And what did he mean by that? He meant faith, belief in the sacrifice of Christ, and that's good enough. So what we have is these translations are very important, and if you believe that all you have to do is have faith in Christ, commandments are done away, then you're going to say faith in. You're not going to translate it faith up. You won't. But there's enough translations, and also the Greek shows very well that we have to have the faith of Christ. And Mr. Armstrong always said, and we still say today, there is our faith. We have to make that choice. God gives us the information. We have to decide ourselves before we get help from God which way we're going to go. If we're being called, are we going to follow through and have that faith in Christ? So number three, by the faith of Christ, we are made right. By the faith of Christ, we are made right, justified. So we come back to Galatians 2:16. Knowing that a man is not justified. Okay, back to that key scripture where it says, God foreseeing in advance, of course, he's the one who plans all things, God foreseeing in advance what would happen in his plan of salvation, that Jesus Christ was going to be born of the seed of Abraham, God said, it is going to be justification or being made right by faith. Faith in that sacrifice, and then having the faith of Christ. Then you will be made right, justified. So justified not by works of law, but justified by the faith of Jesus Christ. Even we have believed in Christ so that we can be justified by the faith of. I know I'm pouncing on this point a lot. And so by the time the sermon is over, I hope all of us recognize that faith in and faith of is important, but also when it comes to justification or being right, justification or being right, the only way we will be right in God's eyes is if we have the faith of Christ. So we have Galatians 3:8. I already gave you that. That is that key scripture that we come to again, where God knew this was going to happen. He planned it this way. Jesus Christ had to be sacrificed. He prayed for 3 hours that, oh, Father, please do I have to go through this? And, of course, he submitted to God's will, even though it was going to be very tough to become a sacrifice for all mankind. So a little bit on the word justify. There's the word justify. There's the word justified, there's the word just, and is the word righteousness, all found in the book of Galatians. So those four, and I think I'm basically looking at the New King James. The word justify, justified, just, and righteousness. So basically what we're looking at here is these are verbs, adjectives, nouns. How many of you loved English? I see everybody's hand going up here, but it was fine. I'm sure some of you aren't raising your hand. It was fine. I'm not going to ask you what kind of grades you got, but there is a difference. So when you come to the word just, basically what we're going to see is the word righteousness, justify, and justified work off of this Greek word. And we could call it a root, but it's not a root word. It is actually an adjective. It's Greek 1342. And what we're looking at now with these words, justify, justified, just, and righteousness, is 1342, 1343, 1344. That's how close they are. Now, if you are a Greek translator and you're translating from Greek onto, well, you're not even translating, you're just copying. And you take a word that we would say is righteousness, it's going to sound like the other Greek words. If you're translating and you have righteousness, well, let's say we just go from English, because that's what we're doing today. We're going from English to Greek. So you take righteousness and you take it over and put it into the Greek, it's going to sound like the adjective, the noun, excuse me, the adjective, the noun, and the verb. It's going to sound like that. Now, how close does righteousness sound to justify? No, they don't sound at all alike. Righteousness. How close does righteousness sound to justiceness? But the problem there is we don't have that word. So what do you do if you are trying to take a Greek word and translate it to English, but you can't come up with the word? So how about justifiable, righteousable? We don't have that word either. How about just and right? That's okay. I'm just, I'm right. But you see where you get into a problem where people might think that righteousness is different than justified. How about, you can start playing with words yourself and come up with funny words, right? So we have then translating from Greek to English. So we have just in Galatians 3 and verse 11. Galatians 3 and verse 11. That's one word. It's the only time it's there is as an adjective, a just man. What would we say if we took the word R-I-G-H-T, what word would we use? We would use for an adjective, we would say a righteous man. So you can do that, but the words don't sound like. They mean the same. A just man, adjective, that is describing the man, and a righteous adjective describing the person. But they're two whole totally different words. We might say, oh no, if you're justified, that means you'd have to do nothing. It's a sacrifice of Christ and it justifies you. Well, kind of. I mean, it's not totally disconnected because you have to have the sacrifice of Christ, but you have to have faith in and you have to have faith of. So we take the word righteousness or justiceness. No, just righteousness. That's a feminine noun, and it's from a just, 3142. And you can find that word, righteousness, in Galatians 2:21. And I'll hand this out so you'll see it. It's in Galatians 3, verse 6, and verse 21, and chapter 5, and verse 5. So it is the righteousness of... What is the righteousness of? We'll see it in a bit. What is the righteousness of? Whose righteousness is it? Because that is a noun. Okay, and then you have justify and justified. And again, you don't do righteousify and righteousified. You don't do that. It's a verb. And that one's found in Galatians 2:16 and verse 17. In chapter 3 and verse 11 and verse 24, in chapter 5 and verse 4. So you have the adjectives, you have the nouns, and you have the verbs. So, and you can justify yourself. You can say, I am totally justified. I am justified in what I do. We can justify ourselves, but we may have the wrong standard in justifying ourselves because lying might be a very good standard for us. And so we are justifying ourselves because sometimes you have to lie. You just have to lie, right? You just have to lie. But you're justifying yourself. Justifiable homicide. You know, in the Bible, there was justifiable homicide. Because if somebody killed your relative, you can go after them. They go to the place of safety, and if they can get there, well, a safe refuge city, better yet, you can go there. And if you get there before the relatives of the guy you killed gets there, you are going to have to be judged, of course, when you go into the city. The judges have to take the case, but you might get killed if he can run faster than you, okay, basically. So and that in the Bible was called vigilantes, I believe. I've often thought that vigilantes in the world would be a good job. Have you? You know, you'd want to be a vigilante in some cases, but God says, no, we can't be that way. Now, let me take one look at a word that I told you I wouldn't go to too many other places, but if you'll keep maybe your marker in Galatians, if you'd like. What does the minister say to that? We can't keep you from either putting a mark in your Bible or not putting a mark in your Bible. We just go to the place, and if you forget, then you'll just have to go back to where we were. Romans 2 and verse 13. Romans 2 and verse 13 says, not the hearers of the law are just in the sight of God. Okay, I heard and I believed in Christ. Is that enough? Because we're hearing, and when we say I believe, we need to be doing, of course we need to be doing, if we're going to be baptized, have you repented? There's that word that is an action word, and we must repent. Okay, but here it says now, and take into consideration the entire context of Romans 2. Not the hearers of the law are just, or just is what? Right. Adjective. Just hearers, okay? Are there just hearers? Well, there's just hearers, but now we got the English language kicking in here, and that means there are people who just hear, but are there righteous hearers, okay? And the answer is, well, guess what? If they're not doing, they are not just in the sight of God. But the doers of the law will be justified. If you want to be justified by God, okay, it's a verb. We are justified. We are made right by God. We are going to have to do. Now, if we're justified by God, what has happened before then? We have been baptized. We have faith. We have God's Holy Spirit. Because the only way we can do what is right with the right motive would be with God's Spirit. We would be doers of the law if we've been justified, okay? And it's a James, you can't just believe and not do. You know, faith with works. Faith with works. And that kind of tells you a little bit about the law of works, which we won't go into, but what James was talking about with works was not the same as ergon. And Mr. Armstrong talks a lot about that. How many of you are familiar with the HWA library? I think a lot of you. But anyway, there's an entire Bible study given by Mr. Armstrong back in the 80s, the early 80s, where he gives the entire Bible study on the book of James. I never knew it existed till 5 years ago or whatever. There's so much that that is out there. But it's just interesting to listen to his study, and actually you can print it out. It's there to be printed out. But whatever the case, what we're looking at here, when we're talking about justification, doers of the law must be justified. In that chapter, Paul goes on to write about the Jews, the circumcised Jews, who basically believe that they are, well, they're even the teachers, and they're breaking four commandments. It's at least three that are mentioned. You who say this, you who teach that, are you committing idolatry? Are you committing adultery? Are you stealing, I think was one of them maybe in there. But anyway, there was three or four of the Ten Commandments. Paul was using that as an example that if we're going to be justified, we have to obey the commandments. That's what he was saying. And of course, if we're baptized, we start obeying the commandments anyway, don't we? We repent of breaking the commandments. And then God is going to give us the strength after that. So the summary of points 1, 2, and 3, and we can make a handout of those. Maybe someone can help and pass them around there. Points 1, 2, and 3 are: we believe in the sacrifice of Christ so that we might be made righteous, justified by the faith of Christ. Faith in and faith of. Okay, so you'll have the first 3 points, and then we'll be going to the backside of that, where there are point number 4, and this will end it up. What is the result of being righteous through faith in and of Christ? Kingdom of God. Now, that shouldn't be a surprise, because the main scripture that we read in Matthew 6:33 is, and we may have it memorized, but if we don't, we know when we hear it what it says: seek you first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. When Christ came to this earth and began his ministry, he emphasized the goal that we have, the goal of the kingdom of God. He wasn't sacrificed yet. Of course, he was at the end of his ministry. But after he was sacrificed, made available to us was the Holy Spirit. Made available to us was the Holy Spirit. And now, available for us, not when Christ was, well, to most, there were exceptions where God was calling some, and when they knew the plan of God, they believed the plan of God, God then did give his Holy Spirit to the prophets of old. But it wasn't available until Pentecost, after Jesus Christ ascended to heaven. Now the emphasis is, and not that he didn't emphasize righteousness when he was on this earth, because he said, if you're going to be in the kingdom, you have to keep the commandments. Remember World War I. And you're thinking, I don't understand that at all. If you haven't heard me before, what is it about World War I that has anything to do with keeping the commandments? Well, World War I ended, or started, for the United States in 1917. So sometimes we come up with remembering something, but Matthew 19:17 is when you have the young man coming and saying, how am I going to enter into life? And the answer was, if you want to enter into life, keep the commandments. You cannot enter into life. So we find out then that Christ did emphasize obedience to the commandments, if we are going to have the hope of the kingdom. So this fourth point, is being righteous through the faith in and of Christ so that we have hope of the kingdom of God. And in Galatians 5 and verse 5, here it says, we through the Spirit, now what does the Spirit do? The Spirit is a guarantee of inheriting the kingdom. Absolute guarantee. And you can find that Ephesians chapter 1, where it tells us that. Also in the book of Corinthians, we find when Paul was talking about this mortal body and clothed in immortality, and then it goes on to say we have the guarantee of that. The same thing in the book of Corinthians when he was talking about that. Was it 2 Corinthians 7? Maybe close. Within 20 chapters, I'm sure. We through the Spirit, well, if we have the Spirit of Christ, the Spirit of God, then it's guaranteed that we'll be in the kingdom of God, unless we commit the unpardonable sin by cutting off our source, that is the Holy Spirit. We through the Spirit eagerly wait for the hope of righteousness. Now, that doesn't mean that we're going to be righteous only when we are changed to spirit being. It means when we are righteous through God's Spirit, we then practice doing what is right. We're going to stumble, as was mentioned, I think, in the sermonette. We will stumble, but now we are on the road to salvation. When we have the Holy Spirit, we have hope that we will be in the kingdom of God. It's our righteousness, where we look at ourselves. Now we know that it's a gift. Eternal life is a gift, but we still have to take, and guess what? We have to use the Holy Spirit. God gives us the power and the strength through the gift of the Holy Spirit to then do what he tells us to do. But you find that term, the gift of eternal life, but it's connected with having the Holy Spirit. If we don't have the Holy Spirit, if we don't have that gift, then we don't have the guarantee. And we can lose the Spirit of God, can't we? So we, through the Spirit, eagerly wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. Actually, it was FI Online by David Johnson, who used this scripture, and it's like, oh, I hadn't even thought of that scripture before. He said, it's not righteousness that comes after we're immortal. It's righteousness that comes through the Holy Spirit. So then we can have the hope of salvation. And, you know, you're listening, and sometimes you think, well, I've heard everything so far. I'm 400 years old, or how old, you know, I've been in the church so long, can't learn anything else. And it's like, you hear this thing, and it's like, oh, never thought of that. Okay, so the other scriptures, and I have, 2 Corinthians 5, I actually have the other one in Corinthians. It's not 7, but 2 Corinthians 5. Holy Spirit is a guarantee completely and totally. And then you have Galatians 3 and verse 14, if you'll turn there, and maybe you don't need to turn since it's right there in front of you, but that the blessing of Abraham, what is the blessing of Abraham? Well, in Galatians, it says that the blessing only goes, the promise only goes to one seed, to the seed of Abraham and his seed. So there's only one seed that gets that promise, the blessing. But basically, it's the mystery of Christ being in us when we become transformed into the image of Jesus Christ, then we are also the seed. We're counted as the seed, aren't we? So the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. We have received the promise of the Spirit through faith, and the blessing can come upon us. That's Galatians 3 and verse 14. So you have to have that promise, and then there's the Spirit. Wait in Jerusalem until, you know, this was about 10 days more. Wait in Jerusalem until I send the promise of the Spirit. And it all ties together. Below here, we find the scriptures in Galatians that address faith in and faith of. I tried not to leave any scriptures out that have to do with faith, but you have the preaching the faith. That was what Paul said he was doing. That would be the faith in and the faith of. He preached because he was the one that actually later on talked about that. The hearing of faith. That was in Galatians 3 where he said, are you saved by the law of works or by the hearing of faith, where you had to have faith in Christ? And at the beginning of that, remember, he said, who bewitched you, right in the very first part of Galatians 3? Who bewitched you? Jesus Christ should have been known to be crucified because of all that you've heard. You should have known what this was all about. Then there's of faith. That can be both. Live by faith. Probably more so the second, but still both. Do we ever stop believing that Jesus Christ is our sacrifice? We never do. So live by faith has to do with both. Before faith came has to do with both. Faith which works by love, maybe more so the second, but definitely you can't separate the two. Household of faith, those who have faith in the sacrifice of Christ and who have the faith of Christ. So we conclude then, Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. It's the only way that we can actually come before our Father in heaven. And that will be at the wedding supper, I guess, wherever that is. But definitely, all of us, eventually, when Jesus Christ comes to this, that is, the Father comes to this earth, after the period of the last great day, where God himself will come down and be on this earth, and Christ will hand over the reins, I guess we could say, directly to God the Father. So what we have here is God prophesied to make all nations righteous. Never forget that. Long ago, to Abraham, he will make all nations righteous through faith in the sacrifice of Jesus Christ and the faith of Jesus Christ. And with that righteousness that we have hope to be in the kingdom of God. It all fits together. Therefore, all nations are blessed through Christ in order to have the righteousness of Christ. And if we are not of Christ, if we don't have the mind of Christ, how can we be in the kingdom of God? We won't be. God trusts his Son, Jesus Christ, to live forever. He was the first to have the inheritance, goes to Christ, and then we are co-heirs with Jesus Christ, aren't we? He can trust Christ, and he has to trust us also. So, the coach says, son, go home and read the book of James. And you'll come back and play baseball for me. Not going to happen.